life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian Smith, the man men call Giant Rats, and this is episode 3 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. Once again, I am joined by self-styled humanoid with a less than satisfactory AI and DEFCON2.co.uk scribe, Anthony Askew.
Hello there, Brian.
Did I pronounce your name correctly this time?
Yes, you did.
You were saying it wasn't northern enough for you.
Exactly. So, but no, that's spot on. That's brilliant. I tell you what, I look forward to your introduction every time. I just can't wait to see what I'm going to get called or referred as, but I like it. It's good.
Right, okay. So we're back once again to finish off the rundown of Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on Fuji TV. We're now at 1981, I believe.
Yeah, with Dr. Slump.
Yes, Dr. Slump. The first Akira Toriyama show of a long run of them. A very long run of them. But only really with two titles, but only based on two different comics. But
It was really popular, from what I gather.
Yes, this was really popular. Yeah, the comic ran from 1980 to 1984, and for 18 volumes. The anime ran from 1981 to 1986, and for 243 episodes.
That is a long time.
Have you seen or read any of this?
I've seen bits and bobs. It's just typical Toriyama stuff, really, in a good way, of course.
It is, yeah. It's more of a gag thing than Dragon Ball.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can see where the early Dragon Balls sort of lead from this sort of style. And with the stuff like the Capsule Corporation bits in Dragon Ball, obviously. Sort of reference. And of course, they show up in Dragon Ball as well. Go to, is it Penguin Island, I think, is where they all live on the Dragon Ball world.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, so the main characters are Arale-chan, who's this robot girl slash sister that the eponymous Dr. Slump creates. So he's got something of like an Astro Boy, Mighty Atom nod going on there.
Yeah.
As obviously Pinocchio. I've seen the first episode of this series and enjoyed it, but I think that's all that ever got fan-subbed, and I don't think it's ever been released officially in English. The comic is out there now, so I mean to pick that up at some point. So I do like Toriyama's art,
probably
more than maybe his writing. But the actress who played Arale in this series, Mami Koyama, she was sort of concurrently, she would be Ryoko in Urusei Yatsura, and then after this, she was Launch in Dragon Ball.
Oh, right.
And a recent role, just sort of showing how she's moved on from like the sort of little girl, teenage girl roles, she was Balalaika in Black Lagoon, the scarred Russian mafia boss.
I just think this Dr. Slumped, it looks pretty good. I like all the kind of little quirky little, like little not in jokes as such, but little bits of humour and stuff, and I just like that. And as you say, Toriyama's art style is really good.
Yeah.
I like it, yeah.
Right, following that, in 1986 to 1989, came a little show called Dragon Ball.
A little show. that one.
Obviously, the comic itself ran from 85 to 96 and 42 volumes. You're probably more the expert. You've seen more Dragon Ball than I have.
I have, yeah.
In our first episode.
I've seen dribs and drabs, because I'm more of a Z guy, you see, because obviously I've seen Z pre-Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
So, like, probably a lot of people out there. But in regards to Dragon Ball, I mean, It's just funny. It's really funny, and it's just great. I love Goku. I think he's such a great little kid.
Yeah, because it's like a Superman and Journey to the West parallel. His origin is Superman, and then the early story is sort of the Monkey Legend. But yeah, I've read, I think, the first volume or two, maybe, back when Viz were releasing it as like single issue American comics.
Oh,
so
nice,
you'd
nice.
Get like maybe 32 pages per month for like $3. So it was a very expensive way of reading it.
But so how many years? Sorry, I'm just checking the notes here. This ran from 86 to
89 as well.
89.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 153 episodes I've got down here.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, again, like you, I think I was more aware of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember when I first heard about Dragon Ball, I was like, what? Something before Z? That's crazy. And then obviously I checked it out here and there, and Z? I was like, oh.
Is it Z or Z? I'm never quite sure.
I call it Z. Did you never watch it properly?
I never watched the American dub.
Right, well, I call it Z, and I obviously in the intro it's referred to as Z, and yeah. So if you're going to be very British, you can call it Z.
Yeah, but, I think it might be Z in Japanese as well, but...
Oh, right.
Or Z-O.
Mm-hmm. Which leads
but...
us on to Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
This is more my forte. I can talk about this. And... I was just hooked to this. Obviously, I bet kids watching this at the time on Fuji TV, it was just going into school, discussing what had happened. I bet it was just fantastic.
Even the theme song, I think, sold millions of copies.
Really?
Yeah. Chala, head Chala.
Can we have a little rendition from you?
No, because I don't. Oh. That's about all I know of the song.
Oh, right. That's all you need to know.
I'm sure if you went to a convention as karaoke, you'd be able to.
Oh yeah,
because
yeah.
It is a very popular. Well, maybe with older fans, it was a very popular song. But
honestly, looking at all these time slots, I just wish I was a kid in Japan at the time. Because it would have just been, as I say, great to, like, do the whole going into school the next day and having a bit chat about it and, like, oh, Goku did this, blah, blah, blah. I just love that, and it's a shame I missed out on that. But Dragon Ball Z was just fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I was vaguely aware of it in sort of early 90s through sort of those import... Well, not just import video games, magazines that bring it in, but things like... CNVG when they started reviewing sort of import games and stuff, and then you sort of got those sort of very amateurish looking ads in the back of games magazines where they might be selling import video games, but they might also be selling like garage kits, sort of those resin molded kits, and you'd see Dragon Ball Z stuff coming through there. Obviously, it's been shown in the continent, so I think people were seeing it when they went away for their summer holidays in Spain. And yeah, definitely Spain, I think people were talking about Dragon Ball.
Right, yeah. About
Spanish holidays. That Super Saiyan image, I think, is sort of a lot of people's first encounter with it, of my age, before they actually ever got a chance to sort of properly see or read any of it. I bought sort of proper exposure. I've got a Belgian fanzine in the sort of mid-90s, probably, I want to say 96, 97. I think it's called Jam, and they had like a very good sort of synopsis of the whole Dragon Ball saga.
Right, yeah.
Back when this was a way to actually sort of, instead of actually watching series, you'd read synopses of series.
Spoilers.
Yeah, and then, like I said, like it came out like Dragon Ball through Viz in those single issues. They ran them concurrently, so they started Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think I probably read the first volume of that as well in that form. Which
right, because I remember Cartoon Network had, obviously, Dragon Ball Z, then it followed up with GT, then the show Dragon Ball. So obviously it wasn't really ideal.
Yeah,
so...
I think they had to put more digital underwear on the Dragon Ball episodes, didn't they?
Yes, definitely.
Hide nudity than they did in there. Whereas in Z, hadn't they had to change somebody's... Was it, they had characters with T-shirts which read Hell.
Hell and the...
Hill.
Oh, yes, something like that. Like that.
Home for Infinite Losers or something like that.
So, something totally stupid.
Hiffle, yeah. Yeah.
But I like those little censorships, like... It's always like, oh, why have they got that like that? And then you read up about it and it's like, oh.
Oh, they, Yeah, the four kids do crazy things later on. There's, I think the Kirby, you know, the computer game character Kirby.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is it, what's his cartoon called? Back At You or something?
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it, but I read that not only did they basically removed all words from the cartoon.
Anywhere
there was a printed word appearing in the cartoon, whether in Japanese or English, they removed it.
And why did they do that?
I don't know. It's four kids, but remember, this is a company whose chairman said that children don't like reading. So maybe that was the reason why they removed it all.
It just seems a lot of needless work. Obviously, I'd understand it if it was like obscenities and stuff, but chances are it wasn't.
Yeah, I think similar for Ultimate Muscle. They did leave. I think the only word and symbol they left on the main character's forehead. Everybody else's was removed.
Right, yeah.
Whether it was in English or Japanese again. But
it's
yeah,
a strange thing to do.
It's
very strange.
It seems like a lot of work. Particularly when, obviously, that it did. Did you ever see Boba 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 Bo?
I didn't.
No. Well, it's a Fist of the North Star parody, essentially.
I've actually just been watching Fist of the North Star. I've been working my way through it. So I may actually how many episodes did that go for? Or?
Not that many. I don't think you got a very partial release, but I think you could find the dub fairly easily. They did it fairly faithfully. They had sort of left everything in, including the Japanese theme tune.
Ah, good stuff.
But yeah, it's a guy who fights with his nose hair.
In fact, I'm sure I must have seen images of that across
the
internet.
He's got a big orange afro, and he fights with his nose hair.
That certainly rings bells, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously they decided that wasn't worth... They were going to do as little work as possible in trying to Americanize it.
And just clearly
wrote a dub script and left it at that, a bit like how they did Samurai Pizza Cats back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Ball Z then. I've not seen any of the anime as Dragon Ball Z. I've seen some of Dragon Ball Kai, the recent where it's moves a bit more like the pace of the manga.
Yeah, I did actually start watching that myself, and it's so, obviously so much better paced. And for those who haven't seen Z whatsoever, watch Kai. Just, it's brilliant, you'll love it. It's exactly the same as what Z is, but without all the crap. So, definitely watch it.
Z ran to 96, and then it was replaced after the comic ended as well. With Dragon Ball GT.
Oh, God. I wish we could pretend this didn't exist, but...
would you say it's universally reviled?
100%, definitely. I don't know... I know few... I can't pick out some positives in regards to some of the animations really nice, as, like, at different points, but on the whole, it is just... I'm pleased it only ran for 64 episodes, and I think that was 63 too many. So it's just pants, really. So avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
How much obviously Toriyama had a lot of probably influence with GT as well, but it strikes us as if like somebody else took over.
Yeah,
said,
I think
we need more stuff.
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think it was he just washed his hands of it, as far as I know, and do what you like. And they certainly did
do what they like, I tell you.
What they liked and nobody liked it.
But I watched it.
It's cartoons, after all.
Exactly.
Right, so that went up to 97, and then it was replaced with Dr. Slump again, which ran to 99, this time with a different cast, more modernised designs.
Nice.
I think they look much more sort of... I'd say 90s proportions rather than what the 80s ones look much more like straight out of the comic book.
Yeah.
And what little I've seen of it also had some horrible CG, which was sort of making its way through anime at the time at that point. I think if you went to 97 and looked at, a good portion of the TV anime made in 97 would have some really obnoxious CG put into them.
Why did they do it? Was it just a... the thing at the time to kind of try and incorporate.
I think it was, yeah. I mean, it's not just... You don't have to just look to Japanese animation to see horrible CGI.
That's true,
look to American as well, where you got all those stuff which looked like it was done in Poser. trying to think of the name of them. Something Max something or other. I won't say Max Power, but it's not Max Power, because that's Homer's name he changed to in Simpsons. but yeah, there's loads of that stuff. Channel 5 used to buy loads of it, buy the bucket load. I mean, we did it in the UK as well with the Damned Air.
I just think it's a bit... Obviously, everyone likes to jump on the bandwagon and stuff. Oh, it's got CGI, whatever. And I just... Would it have been easier at the time than just animating it as how they have all those years or not?
I don't know. The stuff I saw, it's kind of... Yeah, it got the sense of sort of learning it and showing off that they could do it.
Mm.
Maybe the idea that that's what the audience wants. I think now it's done because it's cheaper and because less people can animate giant robots well. So you see it mainly in giant robot shows now.
Yeah. So Dr. Slump went on for another 2 years, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 2 years, 70 odd episodes I've got here.
And did that totally tie up the series, or...?
It was basically a remake of
the
original. Yeah, I don't think they were coming with much new material.
Right.
And then it was followed by another little show. Called One Piece, which obviously is still running, but it ran for 3 years in this slot before the slot was given over to something which wasn't cartoons.
Why did the kind of close the slot altogether? I don't understand.
I don't understand either, but I know they moved One Piece to a place where it was going to get much better ratings.
Right. Okay.
It moved to Sundays, where there was it replaced a show called Ghost Stories. Which is, that was doing okay ratings just for where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But One Piece sort of easily sort of was doing, I think it went from
considerably better.
Yeah, like a 10 to a 14 or something. It was going. And these are really big ratings for anime shows anyway. Ghost Stories did get a release by ADV in America. I'm not sure it came out here or not. But it was a weird show in that they decided to give it a comedy dub that didn't necessarily reflect what was going on in the show.
Ah, I see.
And, yeah, I don't know. It's sort of... When they write they try and write comedy dubs for stuff in America, I don't think it always works for British tastes.
Probably not.
what I've seen of their Funimation's Shin-Chan dubs and their Sergeant Frog dubs, they don't sort of think, okay, and also particularly if they make references which are current again.
Shin-chan's a little kid thing, isn't it?
He is, yeah.
I've seen the dub. I think that's pretty funny. I don't know whether it was or.
Yeah, I don't know which, because we've had it with a different dub over here to the Funimation.
Nice.
Some of the Funimation ones pretty good, but I don't think it's. But the Sergeant Frog one is kind of very Americanized.
Yeah.
One Piece. I love One Piece.
Give it a go. I tried it.
More the comic than the cartoon. But,
right,
So the slot it moved from this slot. So it was being led in by Chibu Maruko-chan, Saize-san, rather, which is the biggest show, animated show in Japan. And longest running, probably the longest running one in the world, despite what the Simpsons say. So they were regularly getting sort of high teens, 20s in the ratings then. Then Kochikame, which is an adaptation of the longest running strip in Shonen Jump about a district policeman. It's another comedy. And then One Piece was the final part of that slot.
Yeah.
It stayed in that slot for a while, and then it moved back half an hour, and then eventually it got shifted to Sunday mornings, where it saw a slump in ratings. But
Is it still at that Sunday morning slot?
Still in that Sunday morning slot. It's gained viewers partly because it got combined with Dragon Ball Kai, and partly because One Piece sort of had a super surge of popularity in the last year or two because of its 10th anniversary and various plot lines coming to a head.
And when is it going to end?
I don't know, give it another decade, maybe.
But do you want it to end? Because I know you love it.
I do love it, but he's definitely got an ending planned. Because it's become clear that he's had various stuff planned from almost...
Day one, sort of thing.
Day one, which have come to fruition recently. So, yeah, you've got to assume there's an ending plan. Because it's a Toei show, it kind of... varies in quality a lot in terms of animation.
I know it
started off pretty strong. I mean, I got hooked by watching the anime, and watching the anime in the form of really bad subtitled Chinese bootlegs, where the names of the characters don't necessarily reflect the names of the characters that they're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me. That was like a random bunch of episodes from the teens. And so then I went back and started watching it properly and then got hooked into the comic.
Yeah. Do you still actually watch the series or do you just stick with the manga now?
Yeah, I've stuck with the manga now. I've not watched the anime for a good few months, maybe even half a year at this point.
See, I did actually get into the series and I can't remember how far I got, but I just kind of... Maybe I didn't watch it for a month or something and then I was thinking, oh, I am so far behind with this. And I just never... pursued it any further, unfortunately.
Is it almost up to 500th episode soon?
That's crazy.
There'll be a good jumping on point coming up soon in the cartoon, but because there's just been a very good jumping on point in the comic.
All right, I see.
They're normally about 9 months or so behind, but they have to occasion, like all these Shonen Jump things, they have to put in fillers because they catch up too close to the comic.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they do that rather than sort of the Dragon Ball technique of making fights last forever, as well as
See, I don't know which I'd rather have, filler or, as you say, extended fights for no reason, because I hate filler, just like everyone out on the planet should. Right. Filler is horrible.
It's hard to find. One Piece has had the occasional good one just by dint of some decent animation. But with One Piece, you can kind of tend when it's an arc which didn't come from the comic is because it'll have some kid in it.
Right,
There's very few sort of child characters in the actual comic, but in the filler it almost always has a child character for some reason. Presumably the animators think that the kids watching will relate to it. Though apparently it's, I don't know about the cartoon, but the comic's mainly being bought by adults at this point. Well, obviously, the kids who started reading it will be adults at this point.
Yeah.
But that sort of takes us into our next topic. We're going to talk about some more recent shows. One of which I believe was a Shonen Jump, at least by a Shonen Jump author, and doesn't have that problem of filler because the comic finished 14 years ago. And that is Level E.
I've even been watching this one. So I didn't know the comic ran like 14 years ago. God.
Yeah, 95 to 97.
And they've only just got round to animating it all. Jesus Christ. But I love this. And I'm surprised that I love this because I'm trying to kind of word it without giving too much away with the plot.
It's clever.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's clever. It's got lots of twists. The thing which struck me with the very first episode is that it feels self-assured. I think because they've got a complete comic, they know where the story's going.
Yeah.
They can pace it over the episodes correctly. And then, because that's the problem all these long-running Shonen Jump strips have, is with pacing in one way or another. So you take Bleach. I think the first 60 or so episodes move far faster than Naruto or One Piece did in terms of how much pages,
content,
how much pages they cover.
Right,
and
that meant
it had to have a long strip of non-canonical, let's say, storylines, which basically bore a striking resemblance to the filler arc the director had also done on Yu Yu Hakusho, which the creator of Level E had created beforehand. Whereas this, it can fit everything in without having to worry about that.
And it's It's so hard to, as you say, it's full of twists and stuff, and
we should say what it's about, basically, to begin with. It's
basically
about,
go on, you.
You go, because people are saying you don't talk enough.
I have heard that criticism, but in person, I won't be shut up. I won't be silenced. But basically, the world is populated with obviously humans, but alongside them are these races of aliens from other planets, and they live alongside the human race, and the humans don't know about them. And this prince, should I say that or should I not? It's a bit of a spoiler.
It is. Well, let's spoil the hell out of it. If you've not seen Levelly, go and watch it. It's great.
I mean, it's a basic spoiler. Basically, this guy from this alien race turns out to be a prince, and he's a bit of a joker. He's a jester, and he just plays pranks. That's the best way to put it, but it's better than that. It really is. It's genuinely funny. I don't always buy into the whole Japanese humor thing, but this is actually funny. And it plays on cliches and like different things like you'd see within games. It just mocks them and gives them a nice little nod as well.
Yeah, I think
it's good.
It builds to jokes. That's the good thing. I watched recently the film, the Belgian film Town Called Panic. Have you seen that? It's
I haven't, no.
Stop motion animation. And the first 20 minutes is full of jokes, but it's also all just a build to one big joke, which happens at the end of the first 20 minutes.
Right.
And that's kind of like how the first three episodes of Levelly are. They're filled with individual jokes, but when you get to the punchline, you realise, oh, all that was to build to this one thing.
And it really does give you a good dupe. It's, the first episodes are, it's like watching a totally different show. It really is. It's because it's actually quite serious, isn't it, the first couple of episodes?
Well, yeah, it often tries to be serious.
But
yeah, all the way through, it sort of, even once it's fooled you.
True.
And then does it again, and then it fools you again.
But it's definitely worth watching. Just, I don't know what else is out there that people are watching at the minute, but chances are this is better. Just because I'm watching it and I don't like crap. So, I don't know what you... How many episodes is it going to be? 13 or something?
Yeah, it's a small number. It's sort of 11, 12, 13, half count.
See, short and sweet. I mean, it's on episode 8 at the moment.
It is, yeah. I've seen
so it's coming to a close.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing there's only one or two arcs left
to
play out. But, it only ran for 2 years as well, so... As a comic, so there can't be that much material. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's up on Crunchyroll at the moment, so you can check it out there. Also on Crunchyroll, but I don't think for much longer, is Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lots of people have been watching this, who we know, including myself, but you've been casting doubt over whether or not...
Oh, yeah. Big style.
Before you'd actually watched it. So where did that doubt come from?
I don't want to make myself sound like a pretentious dick. I just felt everyone was jumping on this show's bandwagon, and I felt, nah, it can't be that good. And I just didn't want to like it. And that's not obviously a good attitude to watch anything. If you don't want to like it, it's not really the best way to go about it. And I just, the whole premise, and I don't know. I don't know. Did you watch it from the off, did you?
Or? I watched it from, because I love the creators, so the director from Gurren Lagann and various other stuff he's done. Love him. He's sort of he's my wavelength of what I want from a cartoon.
Mm. Panties and stockings. That's what you want. No, but I finally watched it after a lot of, just watch it, you can't judge before you've watched it, blah, blah, blah. And I can say it's pretty good. So haters are going to hate, but I actually do like it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I think when it first came out, there was a lot of people who hated it as well. Really, really vehemently hated it. Not funny, it's just crude. That sort of comments people would have.
It is very crude.
And it is very crude.
I'm all for dirty humour and stuff, but it does it in a way that's a lot... what's a word? It's well executed with its
I don't think it's perfect by any means. I think
No.
Very first one, excretion without honour or humanity, yeah, I think that doesn't quite work as well as they wanted it to. But at the same time, it sort of...
builds up the...
Well, no, I think it sort of made sure people who weren't going to like the show didn't go any further with it.
But we need to talk about its animation style, I think.
Yes.
Because it's a very big selling point.
Yeah, it's
a lot of people, definitely.
Yeah, it's sort of very inspired by the 1990s era Hanna-Barbera Cartoon Network things which were being put out, like Johnny Bravo, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls. And obviously that in turn was also influenced by anime itself in the Powerpuff Girls case, and maybe Dexter's as well. Sort of 1960s Hanna-Barbera and 1950s UPA. Yeah, because that's the thing I will hold against the show in general, is that the background paintings could be better in terms of sort of how they're coloured and how they distinguish. They don't really make the moving characters pop out because they're often drawn in the same way.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
Whereas if you look at even at the 90s stuff, definitely the 60s stuff, there's sort of a much better idea of sort of how to make those colours make the characters pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't actually notice that, but now that you mentioned it, I can see where you come from. Definitely.
And also, sorry,
go on.
Yeah, the very first episode also has far too much exposition to set everything up. Because when you look at like those 90s cartoons or the 60s cartoons, they tend to work the exposition into the opening theme.
Yeah.
So if you just hear the opening theme, you know what the show is going to be about.
Uh-huh.
Whereas that first episode sort of has to set up that they're fallen angels. They work.
Yeah, it's spoon feeds us.
They've got ghosts. They've got to collect these coins to get back to heaven. Yeah, so I think that was also put people off the first episode, but mainly all the shit put off the first episode. I think talking about panty and stocking may make this our first explicit episode.
Possibly. If that's a good excuse, now that if I'm allowed to swear, that's all. Woo! No, but seriously, I'm surprised that I liked it, actually. But as I was told, it has a lot of references to films and stuff as it progresses. And obviously, I like me films and stuff. And it's good. It is actually good. I think I'm five episodes in, and I still get shocked and kind of drawn back, like brought back at some of the, how vulgar some of it is. I'm like,
yes. Yeah, so you're on episode five, so that's got the first story is the one with the nose play, let's just say.
Uh-huh,
where
uh-huh.
various characters sticking tongues up each other's noses, which, that is quite... I found that hilariously gross.
And honestly, I am not kind of put off by anything. I hadn't watched anything, be told anything, and I'm never put off. I was like, oh, Jesus, that's pretty vulgar.
Yes, it is.
But the second part of that episode, I loved.
Yeah.
It takes a whole different animated style, and it works it really, really well. I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, I like the guy who directed that episode, Osamu Kobayashi, who did, which I think what you might know him from, directed Beck, the animated version of
Beck. Yes, I know Beck, yeah.
The Paradise Kiss, I think, is that the name of the show? About the fashion designers?
Oh, yes, I know what you
Franz
mean.
Franz Ferdinand doing the ending theme, because the overall director of Panty and Stocking directed that ending theme animation for the Franz Ferdinand.
See, I've never actually watched it, but I do know of it.
And infamously, he was the guy who did episode 4 of Gurren Lagann that enraged people on the Japanese message boards.
Why?
Because it was done not even as drastically different style, but it was done in a different style to the first three episodes.
Right.
And, yeah, and so one of the executives at Gainax posted a blog post where he was comparing the message board users to various foul things. he had to step down because of it.
Oh, really? Whoa.
Yes.
What, so he actually resigned from...
Yes, over this Ferrora. Not just more for his reaction towards the fans rather than over the episodes. Because obviously they brought the guy back. And yeah, has been suggested that that's just them deliberately doing it even more drastically different style, is them just deliberately trolling the fans. Because there's lots of there's lots of times where you can see that. Because the previous episode, you have the diet syndrome one, which is the one where Stocking becomes obese. And if you look, Stocking's clearly the fan favourite among the otaku. And yet, she's the one who really tends to come off worse and
does
the least amount of things in the actual show. You tend to get the feeling that the animators prefer Panty over Stocking.
Possibly, yeah. There was one thing I was really shocked about, actually, and I was thinking to me, I was thinking, surely I'm overanalyzing this little bit here. Is it Brief, the little kid?
Yes.
The ginger-haired guy? He gets taken... Oh, I don't even know what episode it is. We basically got about, obviously, the priest. He takes him for dinner.
Yes.
Obviously, and I was thinking, surely not. I'm overanalyzing this, surely.
Oh, wait till you get to a later episode.
Exactly. Obviously, I'm not that far, but... I don't think I think I was under-analysing it, if anything.
No, you weren't.
So...
Let me try and find which episode. It's the story in a brief. Yeah, it takes that to its ridiculous conclusion.
I was genuinely just thinking, no, surely not, surely not. But I guess I'll find out the...
Oh, yes, no, it definitely goes. It's not afraid to go anywhere, really.
Which, obviously, I do give it credit for. Definitely. Though, I, as I say, I'm surprised I liked it as much as I have, really.
Yeah, so other shows he's done, I don't know if you've seen any of these. Have you seen Dead Leaves?
Yes, I've got that. Yeah,
so he directed that. He did the re-Cutie Honey OAVs, which really annoyed him, never been released, because I'd buy the hell out of them.
Well, see... I don't know. I'm very the whole. I've never seen Cutie Honey, but it doesn't strike me as something that I'd like. Tell me otherwise, please. What's it even about?
It's about an android it's about different things depending on which Cutie Honey version you're talking about. So the re Cutie Honey version is she's this android who works in an office. And she has to fight members of the Panther Claw,
right.
Who, led by Sister Jill, who I believe is technically her sister, even though she's an android. It's only like 3 OEVs long. It's very kinetic, very fast. He did the first episode. Hiroyuki Imayashi did the first episode. And the second episode's not so good. The third episode's amazing. But yeah, it's very... quick and nice and easily. Yeah, it's
I may check it out.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. The other versions, there's Cutie Honey Flash, which I believe is like the version made for girls. There's an OAV from the 90s, which is sort of much more sexually explicit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the 1970s TV show, which was kind of... This is something I'm interested in. I'm planning to do some more research. Is sort of the very sort of physical fighting magical girl concept, as well as the transformation introduced. I think that's kind of overlooked when people talk about magical girls. Is that there's like a sort of a pro wrestling influence in there somewhere,
right?
Like with Cutie Honey, and particularly later on with the Pretty Cure characters, one of who looks almost exactly like a specific. Female Japanese pro wrestler.
And you like your wrestling, don't you?
I do like my wrestling, yes. Yep. Japanese wrestling especially. Yeah, so yeah, that's something I'm planning on looking into further.
Yeah.
So it seemed like when Japanese women's pro wrestling was really big, there wasn't those characters in manga and anime.
So obviously it was a big influence. And
yeah, so whether or not they fill the gap when that isn't popular, or vice versa, I'm not sure. But yeah. I'm sorry, diversion.
But since doing this podcast, obviously, I felt the urge to watch more stuff, and just because for a lot of years I hadn't watched anything.
Well, yeah, this is so. Yeah, this is. The, I mean, I was because like I went away, so we do sort of chat on hash Icon. Is it on which Quake World? Is it?
QuakeNet. I think it is. Yeah.
IRC with various people, and you find lots of people who we know through anime, the anime fan scene, don't actually watch anime anymore. Mm-hmm. So I sort of took a leave of playing Red Dead Revolver, Dead Rising 2, and Fallout New Vegas for about 3 or 4 months there. And so I was surprised when I came back and saw that people had been watching Panty and Stocking.
Because
they were particularly people who I wouldn't necessarily thought were watching any anime at the time, so that was quite interesting to see. So obviously it does resonate with sort of lapsed anime fans as well as current anime fans.
Yeah, it's good to see some decent stuff. There's probably a lot of decent stuff out there from the past couple of years that I'm just overlooking.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's hard to find because there's also a lot of trash.
Oh, God, yeah. And that's what puts me off, it really does. Because I'm quite hard to please, believe it or not. And I'm quite fickle. I've been described as fickle recently. So,
well, the thing to do is find the shows you like and figure out who made them and then...
Yeah, that's a good, definitely a good point.
That tends to be what I do, is I keep an eye on who's actually making each show, and then if it's somebody who's I've liked the shows off before, I tend to be more inclined to watch them.
Yeah.
Rather than try and taste everything, because that's a good way. Well, that's a good way of getting a taste, sort of an idea of where everything is. It's also a good way of getting jaded very quickly as well, I think.
Definitely. So, yeah, that is Fuji TV all wrapped up.
And two reviews. Yeah, so you were talking about, you wanted me to give you things to watch, didn't you? So
I did, yes.
I gave you Chargeman Ken. Mm-hmm. I gave you Level E. I'm now going to give you Gag Manga Biori.
Right, you're going to have to
text me that.
Give me a text form, because a lot of people may have noticed... My pronunciation on things, Japanese is terrible. So.
Mine's probably pretty bad as well. from Lincolnshire. I come from a place where we can't even say frozen correctly. So
say it again?
We can't even say frozen correctly in South Lincolnshire. We say frez.
Really?
And if you were frightened, we say frit.
But that's the first time I've ever heard of that. They must keep that under the...
Well, we do, yeah.
It's not like that escape. Local people only.
Well, Lincolnshire people don't like to travel very far.
I didn't know that, actually. Did not know. But we'll not get into accents and...
No. Obviously,
I'm sure I'm a...
We both speak with Cockney accents.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, yeah.
A couple of guys talk with Cockney accents. About anime.
How wrong they are. How wrong they are.
Could be further from it in your case, really.
Definitely. I might as well be Scottish in regards to Cockney. Oh, God.
Right, so, yeah, next time... Well, yeah, so I'll sort you out with Gag Manga Biori, and you can give some feedback on that.
Am I just to watch a few episodes, or am I watching the entire thing?
You can probably watch the entire thing, because I think it's only 12 episodes, and each episode's only about 5 minutes.
Oh, good stuff. What year is this from? Actually, no, we'll discuss that next time.
We'll discuss that next time. Yeah, I've got a couple of episodes, topics on the brew, depending on if we can get some guests. One is going to be about Deek, the French-Canadian animation studio, and their sort of co-productions and productions where they use Japanese studios. And the other one is sort of anime role-playing games and anime based on role-playing games.
That sounds good.
Do you have anything to plug before we wrap up?
After last week's lack of plugging, this week I have a little bit more to plug. Obviously, my Twitter is AntAskew, AntAskew. And once again, I'm going to mention KitaCon. That is April 1st, that weekend. And on the Sunday at 1 o'clock, I am doing a AMV Iron Chef. So go along to that. It's basically... me and Lush are gonna edit a music video on the spot, so it'll either be totally pants or half decent, but I'm thinking it's gonna be decent as long as we have some hecklers. So come along to that. That's it.
Right, yeah, I shall also be at KitaCon, from the 1st to the 3rd. I shall be on the 2nd, penciled in at the moment, at 7 o'clock in the evening, will be Madstravaganza Best Selection, which will be a rundown of the best clips from my Madstravaganza panels from Aya and Ayacon and Amicon. And also, I may have something in the con book as well, called How to Be an Anime Expert.
Very good.
Which will I shall enter the annals of unfunny con book articles.
Is this one going to be unfunny in a good way?
It's supposed to be funny.
Oh, right.
But I wrote it very quickly.
Oh, good, good. No, well, I look forward to reading that.
I did look at previous con books beforehand to make sure that I was just about as unfunny as all previous con book articles have been.
And for those who don't know, the con books come in the con bag, because I know some people who just get the bag and leave it somewhere. So they do actually appear in the bag.
It's been a very long time since I've actually read any con books myself, but
I usually have a quick flick through, but nothing too in-depth.
I'm not saying they're a waste of time and money.
No, I know there's a lot of hard work that goes into the con books, and you tend to be of really high quality, glossy covers, but I give it a read. It's just for Brack's article, of course. So
of course, yeah. It's
the rest, probably.
It's
no, I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Do read it. I may do a reading of it on the podcast at some point after the convention.
That would be nice. Yeah, that would be good.
Right. So we'll be back next week with.
We don't know what really.
We don't know what. I'll see who we can get to maybe come on as a guest.
Next week I'll try not to be hungover, because today, if you could probably see me, which thankfully none of you can, I look like baked shit. So
yeah, you know, so you can get a crack on with watching the rest of Panty and Stocking, and then we might talk about that again after you've seen the
finally finished it. Yeah, and Levelly,
I think we'll come back to Levelly with the next arc. Yeah, because it'd be a few.
That's good. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, a few of you actually go out and watch it. Whoever isn't, so
yeah. If you want to leave, so you can follow us on iTunes, or subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook. You can email us at awesome.engine@gmail.com. I think that's everything.
Thanks for listening.